He texted me all morning and said that he has so much opportunities now for him. Can't thank me enough. He has so much people trying to put plays together for him, and he has now has enough exposure to begin what he wants to do.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Unbox, the show where I, dear creator, help you build a brand that lasts by becoming the manager that you never had. We're going to dive into a number of big stories that have caught my attention this week, which I think have learnings for all of us. The boyfriend of Miss Omar Leigh. So for those who don't know, there's a young man who went to the Omar Leigh show. He's an Afrobeats artist, went to his show, and his girlfriend jumped on stage and started dancing very inappropriately with Omar Leigh. He sat there in the crowd laughing, trying to laugh through the pain, it seems. It was a really sad story. It looked very tragic. However, things took a turn. So following the story online, you may have seen a few beats. The first beat being Kai Cenat offered to get the girl on stream. She said no. She said she'd only do it if she was getting paid. And you go, okay, that makes no sense. You've had this incredible moment out of nowhere. You've been invited onto this massive platform, and you say no because you're not getting paid. What a strange reaction to a massive moment and opportunity. So she says no. Well, the guy says yes. He went on stream with Kai, and Kai did the following. He gave him a 20 versus 1 speed dating exercise to try and get him back in the field. And he also gave him $20,000. So from the girl basically going and saying, no, I'm not going on because I'm not getting paid, the ex-boyfriend jumping on, getting $20,000 and potentially finding the next love of his life and the biggest platform that he could ever hope for. But then Kai recently posted this video, which sums, I think, a lot of this up.
He texted me all morning and said that he has so much opportunities now for him. All right? He can't thank me enough. He has so much people trying to put plays together for him with fashion and et cetera and things like that. And he has now has enough exposure to begin what he wants to do.
He has so much opportunity out there for him now. And that makes sense. He's just jumped on the biggest stream in the world. He's clearly, you know, a guy who has something interesting about him. He's now got over 50,000 followers on Instagram, and he's basically got a platform now. And I think there are so many lessons and interesting things here for all of us to take away. The first thing is that you need to see value beyond money, people. Stop looking at the monetary value of things as the first point of call, especially when you're developing or you have no platform. Like, this girl had zero platform and she's now fumbled the opportunity forever. The guy, on the other hand, comes on and takes his opportunity and now is set up to have a career. If you are given the opportunity to jump on a big platform in whatever space or field you're in, take it. If it could be a strategic leg up for you. If you only do things for the money, you're gonna fail in this business. You need to see value beyond money. And this guy saw the value beyond the money, and he's now got over 50,000 on Instagram, which is worth infinitely more than £20,000 or dollars even. And he's been given this incredible exposure and platform to set himself up. That is the value of going on stream with Kai for free. If he was to come to me today and say, right, how would I manage him? What would I do for him? So the first thing I would do, I would sit down with him and go through the following. The first question is, how are you managing it mentally? This is a completely normal dude who was at a concert with his girl and his life's been transformed off the back of it. So how do you mentally deal with that? It's very difficult. And that's the first thing for a manager, I think, and for him to actually wrestle with. How does he feel? And fundamentally, what support does he need to manage this whole situation for himself? What would give him support? Because if you're not mentally there and ready and prepared to do this, then you have to not bother. You have to stay away. Then I would say, let's say he's like, you know what? I'm ready for this. I want to take this on. Then you go, all right, well, I would sit down and say, who are you? What do you love? What are your biggest passions? And from that, you'd work out, okay, maybe there are three or four different focus areas or areas that he loves and he's passionate about. So he's somebody obviously looks good. He's had this 20 versus one date. He's somebody who, you know, has been almost tragically been let down by his girl. And there's this come up story, right? This comeback story that I think is really interesting. So on that front, actually, could you go to some of the big agencies out there? And would they sign him? That'd be a first point of call, is going to those agencies and starting to have those meetings and getting him in those positions. The second thing would be, you know, good housekeeping. And then I'd be doing PR for a month at least. I'd be going to a PR agency. There are many out there and saying, hey, we've got this guy. He's got global noise around his brand. Kai's obviously shouted him out now and he's been given a platform. Can you actually take his story out there and actually, you know, put it to the world? Because I think a lot of platforms would be interested in his story. It's got amazing drama, ups and downs, you know, this incredible comeback story. People love the drama of a comeback. So actually tell that story on a bigger level. You need PR to do that. That's the best way. And if I was a manager and I had some funds, if he doesn't have the money, I'd be putting that money in and actually saying, look, I'll invest this into you because this is his moment to capitalize. And the last thing would be to build on TikTok and to focus there, right? His story obviously came off the back of TikTok. And I would say for him, it's how do you show people a little bit more of your life, a little bit more of your personality, like the young lady did. She did a story addressing the whole situation. He should do his take if he hasn't done it already. Then you've got a space on a platform where you can really be yourself. But I'd imagine for the guy, it's super overwhelming and it's anxiety inducing to the max, because to go from being a normal dude at a concert to now having 50k on Instagram, being platformed on Kai Cenat's stream, which is one of the biggest in the world, that's a huge, huge thing. So next up, Danny Arons retired his dad, and is one of the most heartwarming things that I've seen in a long time. Danny Arons recently retired his dad and posted the framed image of his resignation letter at his company, which is amazing. Andrew, who I've had a brief interaction with on Twitter, seems like an incredibly nice and kind man, and he's somebody who is clearly super proud of his son and his son's journey so far and everything. And it's amazing to see this come together in this beautiful moment. As we see, 3.7 million views on Twitter. It's gone viral, doing amazing numbers. But Andy, fair play to him. He writes underneath, retirement, I'm working harder at Danny Arons Incorporated than I ever did in all my previous jobs. Seriously, thanks, Danny. Mum and I are so proud of what you've achieved. Firstly, Danny, what an amazing example that you're setting for tons of young people out there who are going to be watching and looking at people like yourself and seeing how you're managing success, how you're building something. Danny is the perfect embodiment of not an overnight success. He's been building and building and building for a long time, taking opportunities, hustling his stream, like really going for it. Now to see that translate into a moment like that, I just think is beautiful, very heartwarming. It's an amazing example for young people out there, right? To see someone who's had success, who is building success, who is in his moment right now, to see him giving back in the right way. And that's pretty rare these days. I think not enough young people have role models out there who are showing that kind of an example, who are showing how to manage their success and their fame and their money, and how to give back to those who really deserve it and to those who are closest to you. The second thing, though, is just as a bigger example of how social media can transform lives. We know that, right? There's a reason why being an influencer and creator is one of the most sought after jobs in the world, because this ability to build a personality brand at scale around the world is a once in a generation moment. You have the opportunity to build a personality brand that can transform your life in whatever it is that you do. There are no gates here. And I think people need to be aware of that. No other generation before has had the ability to, by their own agency, build a brand around yourself. So I think for anybody out there who has those aspirations, take them right now. This is the time to build a personality brand. Someone like Danny and his amazing story here, where he's been able to retire his dad, is a perfect case study and example of that. Shane Gillis on SNL this recent weekend has been a real moment and a bit of a watershed, I think, in terms of sentiment around comedy. For those who don't know, Shane Gillis, comedian, he was fired from SNL back in 2019 for discriminatory remarks, and he was kicked off the show. He now comes back and comes in with a bit of a bang. He was not holding too many punches. His comedy was quite edgy and pushed some boundaries. Not nowhere near as much as maybe comedy did 10 years ago, but still relative to today, pushed some boundaries. But let's have a quick watch at some of his monologue, because you'll get a quick sense as to what he was going at.
You remember that when you were a little boy and you loved your mom and you thought she was the cool? You remember when you were You remember when you were just a little boy? Every little boy is just their mom's best friend. There's literally zero difference. My mom asked me when we stopped being best friends, and I don't have the heart to tell her, because like most men, I know exactly when me and my mom stopped being friends. It was the first time I off. I would say when my niece is probably in like fifth, sixth grade, out at recess, and some white kids out there are like, hey, you're not allowed to play with us. You're And then three black kids come flying out of nowhere. Start wailing on that cracker.
A few interesting things with this. One is that the band and the people behind him were not laughing at all. They were not into this whatsoever. But everybody else, especially on Twitter, seemed to love it. Comedy is a space that has been truly transformed by the way that culture shifted in regards to what is allowed, what's not allowed, what's politically correct, what's not politically correct. What is interesting is that the sentiment online seems way more positive than it does negative. The sentiment online, although yes, there's polarization, there is a pushback and a demand, I think, coming more now than ever before to true comedy and not censored comedy that is basically toeing the lines. And I think especially for a generation that has seen that change, right, from growing up with South Park, Family Guy and those sort of shows to now, and to see that transformation, I think a lot of people are saying, no, this is funny. We want comedy that actually pushes things. It's an interesting time. And I think what is also fascinating to look at is the difference between like the sentiment on Twitter and the media outlets who covered it. There was a lot of negativity about it being cringy, but that's not the sentiment online. The sentiment online was actually the opposite. And maybe there's a reaction coming to cancel culture. Maybe there's a reaction coming to censored comedy, and things are slightly moving back in the opposite direction. I think this whole Shane Gillis episode really demonstrates that there is a desire, at least by a decent amount of people, to have comedy that is a lot more unfiltered, uncensored, and funny. at the end of the day. What are the biggest myths about working with brands? So I would say the biggest myth about working with brands is that it is easy. And a lot of creators who haven't started working with brands think, oh yeah, it's easy to do a brand deal. No, no, no. Brands are getting increasingly demanding in what they want. And as the numbers go up and up and up in terms of size of deal, well, they're getting wiser and they're also getting more scrutinous. The number one way that you can build money is to build a connection that is direct to your audience and to build valuable products and things that you can sell directly to them. And the second myth is that brands pay a lot of money. Brands these days are more wise to spend than ever before, and they are distributing their funds so much more thinly than they ever used to. Brands are now spending a lot less per creator. They're spending a lot more on widespread campaigns because of TikTok and the ability to get reach for really no money at all. Should I put my manager's email in my bio? My experience is that you need somewhere that people can contact you. Well, either it should be a management at email for your brand or your name, or it should be, I think, your email that the manager has access to. And the reason being is that the manager should be able to manage the inbox. That's why you're paying them the money, partly. That's the bread and butter of the job, the easiest part of the job. And therefore, they should have their email in your bio. Otherwise, you're adding more to your workload and less to theirs, which is why you pay them commission. So yes, you should have your manager's email in the bio. I wouldn't put a personal email as such. I would put a management email or a designated inbox that you can have visibility on. People often say that you shouldn't because you should have eyes on the inbox. Yes, you should. You should have access to it as a creator. I think that is completely fair enough. Most controversial takes about creators today: that being a content creator is a high paying job. Being a creator is not a high paying job for the majority of creators for a number of reasons. One, they don't know how to commercialize their business. Two, they are in an increasingly competitive field where brands and advertisers are paying less and less for more and more. And number three, they are stuck on a platform like TikTok, which provides short form, transient and transactional engagement and doesn't really build any meaningful connection or anything commercial. Creators these days are broker than ever, and that's because of these factors. So if you want to build a financially sustainable career, you're going to need to think strategically and think commercially in terms of the content you put out, the outcomes you're aspiring to fulfill, and the way that you're shaping your entire plan. Being a creator and just putting your content out there is not enough if you want to make money from it directly. It might be enough to get views, but views do not correlate to money anymore. They used to. Those days are gone. I'm struggling to build an audience on TikTok. How do I do it? Well, look, I am no social media guru in terms of growth and strategy. I know a little bit, but not a lot, right? I would never claim to. That's not my job. But I would say if you're trying to build an audience off of TikTok, it's about creating connection and driving a strategy that is platform specific. They are completely distinct. And so for me, you need to be looking and studying the people who are doing really well on the platform today, not those who have legacy followings that have built up over a long period of time, but those who are smashing it right now. Why have they been able to build a platform in a quick amount of time? You see creators these days who some can over 30 days get to 100K through Reels. But what is it about their Reels that work? It's because if you're just reposting your content from TikTok onto Instagram, it might work, but it also might not. So it's all about really working out a platform specific strategy that doesn't think that it's all the same, because these days it's not. I'm a YouTuber struggling to grow. What should I do? Well, firstly, I am not a YouTube growth consultant, but I do know one who is fantastic, and his name is Paddy Galloway. So I'd be following Paddy, looking at all of his tweets. That's the kind of person I think you need to get a hold of and try, and even if it's just studying all of his tweets and really digging into the work that he's put out for free, have a in-depth knowledge as to the things that he says, because he's doing it at a top level every single day. And of course, look at some of the biggest creators who are doing it for themselves and get their view. The one thing I do like about people like Paddy, he gets to work with loads of different creators across various spaces. As a result, he gets an average and a mean as to what works. If you just follow a creator who smashed it in their lane, cool, they can tell you about all the things that they've done, but that might not be applicable for other spaces, other niches, other verticals. So I would say look at somebody like Paddy, dig into everything he's ever made and start there, because you'll learn more from his tweets than you will, I would say, doing a master's degree in any of these subjects at a university. Will there be another Sidemen? So I believe there will not be another Sidemen, especially in the way that they have done it. The reason being is that the Sidemen's cultural endurance and legacy has been built over 10 years in a time which was very different to what it is today. When they started, they were able to come together as friends and in an unsaturated space, be a voice of fun and creativity and humor and just personality. Back then, they could get across their personalities in a real and authentic way without needing to optimize things for the platform. And that allowed a freedom, which means that people connected with them on a deeper level than they do with most creators today. Now, of course, you have some creators who are doing amazing things and building brands that, you know, are growing at a great rate. But I would argue that people who are doing the best, Beta Squad, for example, came up in a different time to the time we're in today. They came up in a pre-TikTok, pre-COVID era as creators individually. And they were able to develop that connection on a deeper level too. If you're starting right now, you're competing against this swathe of personality brands and entertainers who compete all day, every day for attention. So no, I don't think there'll be another Sidemen, not in the same way that the boys have done it. But connection will continue to be made at scale, and there'll be people who'll do amazing things, but I don't think in quite the same way that the guys have done it. Thank you for tuning in to Unbox. Make sure to like, comment, share, subscribe, send this to a mate who's trying to build a brand around themselves. And I hope that through watching this, you can build a brand that lasts. That'll always be the aim of this, to help creators and personality brands have longevity, because it is harder than ever. Drop your questions and any thoughts below in the comments, and I'll see you back for another episode next week.